I'd like to express my gratitude to Father Ayub. We were talking the other day, and he said he's been watching me. And he said, I watched you through Lent, doing the Stations of the Cross, Holy Week, Palm Sunday, reading the Passion, attending the Chrism Mass at the Cathedral, Holy Thursday, Good Friday services, blessing of the Easter food on Holy Saturday morning, the Easter Vigil, throw in a few homily preparations, 6 marriage preparations, baptism prep, and a few funerals. He said, you've really been working hard. I think you deserve a vacation. So I appreciate that, Father. On Wednesday this week, my wife, Pat, and I are leaving on a 2-week vacation. We're taking our whole family to Iceland. Pat and me, 3 adult children, 2 sons-in-law, and a 3-year-old granddaughter. 8 of us all together. We've never been, but we're looking forward to experiencing all that Iceland, the land of fire and ice, has to offer with its natural wonders, like erupting geysers and massive glaciers and waterfalls, and its wildlife like puffins and whales along its coast. Or at least that's what the travel brochures say. So of course, a trip like this requires immense planning, from booking airline flights, lodging, and rental cars, to figuring out itineraries and to maximize our Icelandic adventure experiences. But as much as we've planned for where we're going, we also had to plan for what we're leaving behind. Our biggest concern is our dog, Enzo. Who's going to take care of Enzo when we're gone? And I'm sure you dog owners out there can appreciate our concern. Fortunately, we have a friend who has agreed to come and be a dog sitter for us. But this friend has never taken care of Enzo before, has never lived in our house before. So my wife Pat tasked me with writing out some instructions. Now, you know from listening to my homilies how wordy I can get. And by the time I finished the care and feeding of Enzo, I had produced this 6-page memo. And I wanted to make sure that even though I was gone, my intentions for Enzo's care were perfectly clear. Suffice it to say, our family is leaving on a long trip, and we're giving detailed instructions to those that we leave behind. You might wonder, what does this dog-sitting memo have to do with our readings for today on this, the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord? The readings tell us that Jesus was physically leaving the earth. That's what our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles is about. And he gave detailed instructions to those he left behind. That's what the gospel is about. Jesus was about to leave his apostles and his disciples, whom he had been teaching for 3 years, the most important lessons that they would ever learn. Our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles explains that as the apostles looked on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. A couple of angels appeared to tell the apostles who were standing there looking intently at the sky, probably with their mouths open, in shock that Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven. Jesus was going to heaven. And you've heard me say many times before that it's our goal in life and after this life to get ourselves and those we love to heaven. Although we all have an image of what heaven is like, none of us, while we're on earth, can really be sure. What is known and what the church teaches is that heaven is real. It is a truth revealed to us by God, not necessarily a place that you can map with geography. It is being in God's presence. When we get to heaven, we will be existing in God's perfect presence. And when Jesus ascended, he wasn't just hopping a flight to Iceland. He was taking his seat of power with God the Father in eternity, because Jesus is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And just like my family preparing for Iceland, Jesus had to provide for those he was leaving behind. He didn't just leave them a 6-page memo. He gave them the Great Commission. And this is our gospel today, the last 5 verses at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. The Catechism teaches that the Great Commission is the central mission of the church to carry on Jesus' work by spreading the gospel, the good news, throughout all the earth. In his Great Commission instructions, first Jesus lets the apostles know that what he is about to say is backed with real authority. He says, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's reminding them that as the second person of the Holy Trinity, he is in fact God, co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. And he has just successfully completed his mission on earth with his victory over death and as the one who conquered sin. Next, he gives the apostles detailed instructions on what they are to do. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." You might think that those instructions aren't that detailed, certainly shorter than my 6-page memo on the care and feeding of Enzo. But Jesus' instructions to us are everything that he taught us in his 3 years of public ministry. And that is what the 4 Gospels recount in great detail. Have you heard that acronym for the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. While it's a catchy, or I might say kitschy, way to remember the importance of Holy Scripture, the Great Commission tells us that the Gospels are more than just basic instructions. They aren't a checklist for us to follow before we get to heaven. They are a mandate for us to transform the world while we are still here. And just for the record, my Enzo memo was 6 pages, but the four gospels in my trusty New American Bible at home are 135 pages long. Jesus left us with a lifetime of wisdom to put into practice. And finally, Jesus promises the apostles that they can count on him to help. He says, "And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." How does he manage that if he's leaving? Of course, he's referring to the promised Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. In last week's gospel, Jesus promised the Advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth. And next week is Pentecost, the birthday of the church, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, who appeared to them as tongues of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. The ascended Christ sends the Holy Spirit into his church, that the church may continue Jesus' work, God's work, in the world. We see that same Holy Spirit today in our young people, and sometimes our not so young people, who receive the sacrament of confirmation, empowering them to proclaim Jesus with courage and to face down evil and to accomplish good. the Great Commission from our gospel today, Jesus is giving us an assignment. He is sending us forth to continue his work, starting with our own families and our own circles of influence. And he is empowering us with the Holy Spirit to accomplish his work. As we prepare to celebrate the Eucharist today, let's ask ourselves, who in my life can I pray for today? Who can I help to observe all that Jesus commanded? We aren't just standing on the hill staring up into the sky. We already have our instructions. Now it's time for us to get to work.